Hello. Shalom, Stephen. I can't hear you, Stephen. Stephen, can you hear me? Hello.
Hi.
Stephen, can you hear me? Oh, okay, great. There we go. Hi, Ruth. Good to see you.
Hi, you too.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. Let's open with a little singing. Oops, change. Some extra sounds going on. There we go. Okay. And of course, when you want to say something, you can unmute yourself. Great. Wonderful to be with you both tonight. I know that that Julie couldn't make it tonight, so she'll watch the video later. And there's also Peter in this class. I'm not sure where Peter is, but it's good to see you too. So I just want to take a moment to give thanks for the gift of this practice and all practices that come to us from the tradition, because they form a kind of intentional scaffolding in a sense, something that if we attach ourselves to them and make them part of our regular routine, then they have a tremendous power to up-level our ability to stay present in all of life situations. Just like any kind of practice, such as physical exercise, lifting weights, makes you strong for all of the time, everything that we're doing. The lifting of the weights doesn't really have a practical purpose in and of itself. It's only for the purpose of strengthening the body. And these traditional practices are like little universes that come to us from the lineage that we can choose to live within and receive their blessing. So Baruch Hashem that we have that, and to give it be able to give it this attention. So the place that we're at with the practice right now is the light breathing of the three letters of the four-letter name, yud in the head, hey in the chest, and vav in the spine, but really representing the belly because it extends down into the belly. And we also did hand motions, which at this point are pointing upward with left, downward with right, and then we're going to point forward with right, backward with left, and right to right, left to left. And that's all we did. So that's sort of the simplified version. Tonight we're going to learn the more complete version of that, in which we will draw three circles around the body. First one coming this way. I'm doing it visually, but what is that? Vertical. And the next one is going to be horizontal. And then the next one is also going to be vertical, but coming around the body from right to left instead of front to back. So let's do the practice, first of all, just with the way that we've learned it so far. So we're going to chant Shema Yisrael, going to the six words, ending with Echad. So just taking a moment to allow your awareness to shift into your body. And to let awareness rest on the flow of your breathing. And adding the visualization that when we breathe in, that the body becomes enlivened with light. And when we breathe out, the light radiates outward in a borderless, boundless field in all directions. And now we're going to breathe in three sips of air, yud, he, and vav, which is head, chest, and belly. Here we go, breathing in. And chanting Shema, extending the light up through the top of the head into the heavens and pointing with the left hand upward. Shema. Breathing in three sips of air, yud, vav, hey, which is head, belly, chest. Yisrael, extending light downward into the earth, right hand pointing down. Yisrael. Breathing in, hey, yud, vav, chest, head, belly, and Yadonai, right hand pointing forward. Yadonai. Breathing in three sips. He, vav, yud, which is chest, belly, head. And Eloheinu, backwards, left hand pointing back. Eloheinu. And breathing in vav yud hey, which is belly, head, chest, and yad onai to the right hand to the right. Yad onai. And finally, breathing in vav hey yud, belly, chest, head, and echad to the left hand to the left. Echad. And bringing hands to your heart, relaxing hands in your chest, in your lap for a moment, and just sitting in silence, breathing. You can use Atahu, Atyahi. Sit for a few moments in silence, perceptualizing the light extending in infinite beams outward in the six directions. And when you're ready, coming to open your eyes. And I unmuted everybody, and I just wanted to check in and see if anybody had any questions about the practice at this point. All good. Okay.
No questions. We've got it mastered. all finished.
Well, the next stage is a little bit trickier, and I just want to remind us all that when we learn something that's tricky, you know, we have to engage a part of our mind which is may feel the opposite of meditative at first. But once you practice it a little bit, same with playing an instrument, you know, you're playing, moving your fingers on the instrument, there's nothing musical feeling about it at first. Then your body gets used to it. It becomes second nature, just like speaking a language. You don't have to think of the words, the English words that you're saying, because you speak English. If it was a foreign language, you'd have to stop maybe and try to figure out what you have to say. So the same thing, once it becomes second nature, then it becomes part of the dance of the meditation and a beautiful expression of the flow of the visualization and the light and the letters and so on. So don't worry if it doesn't feel great at first, because it's learning a little bit of a new skill. Although this is second time around for Ruth. So, okay, good. So I'm going to meet you again, and then I'm going to dive in. Okay. So the first hand motions that we learned were left hand up, right hand down. The second hand motion we learned was right hand forward, left hand back. So now what we're going to do is just connect those two different positions, the up, down, and the front, back. The way it works is we'll just come into this position, left up and right down. There you go. And we're going to draw a circle around the body from front to back. So the left hand will come forward and the right hand will come up and towards you. Kind of like Tai Chi. And then the right hand is facing up. And then you keep going until the right hand is forward and the left hand is back. So our wrists, you know, don't move in a complete circle. So you have to kind of adjust as you go. But I'm going to lift my hands up so you can see. I'm pretty much as I can, keeping my hands in the same orientation. Of course, when I get to a certain point, I have to flip them around. Okay, so that's the first circle. Left up, right down, and then left moves forward and right moves up and back. And we draw a full circle until we come to right forward and left back. Good. I think it looked like you guys had that. You want to do it again for me? And I'm just kind of watching. Hold on, I'm going to put you, one moment. Let me put you on a better view here so I can see. Okay, there we go. Okay, so let's try it again. And then we draw the circle. There you go. Okay, does that feel okay for you? I know it's probably awkward, but you get the idea. I'm going to do it in a more gross motion, more blatant motion, just so you can kind of see is that we're just drawing a wheel from like this. And the idea is the visualization is actually the more important part, which is that we're just visualizing a big circle of light coming around the body like that. Yeah, that's it. You got it. And as much as you can, keep the hands pointing around the perimeter. Again, it doesn't matter if it's not perfect. It's really just for the hands are pointing the visualization. Yeah, that's it. Very good. Beautiful. Beautiful. So there's going to be three of these circles, and we just did the first one. Okay. So now let's do the second one. So I'm going to come to the second position, which is right forward and left back. And then what will happen is the right is going to move right and the left is going to move left. So we're going to trace a horizontal circle like this around your body like a hula hoop. So the right moves to the right, left moves to the left, and you trace the whole circle around until left is facing right and right is facing left. So we come to our hands crossed, which we haven't done before. This is the first time that we have hands crossed like this. Okay, let's try it again. So let's see, boom, boom. Oh yeah, right forward, left back. And then right moves to the right, left moves to the left, and we just trace a circle. Excellent, excellent. And now we're facing in the direction from side to side. Okay, let's do it from the beginning. Okay, so we're not gonna do it as a meditation, but more just focusing on the hand motions. So Shema is the left hand up. Yisrael is the right hand down. And then we draw the first circle, here we go. Now, right hand is forward and left hand is back. Oh, you missed it? Okay, let's try it again. Left hand up, right hand down. This is Shema Yisrael. Now, what's going to happen is left comes forward, right comes back, and you just trace the circle all the way around until your right hand is facing forward. You got it? Yep, that's it. You got it. That's it. Okay, so now right is forward, left is back. And now we're going to trace the horizontal circle. So right will move right, left will move left, and we create a big hula hoop. And right is right and left is left. That's it. You got it. You got two of them down, one to go. So the last one is actually kind of the easiest. The last one is the right goes up and left goes down. And I'll do it for you. So right's up, left is down, and then we come to rest with both hands open. Very simple. It's the easiest, I think, because the other circles traced a little bit more than a full circle. This traces exactly a circle. So we're like this, and then left is right, right is left, right goes up, left goes down, and we come to rest. So now we have a circle this way, we have a circle this way, and we have a circle this way. Good, okay, so let's try from the beginning. Here we go, left hand comes up for Shema, right hand goes down for Yisrael. Now left goes forward, right goes backward, trace all the way around until right is forward and left is backward. And that's Adonai and Eloheinu. Now the right will go right and left will go left, and we make a big hula hoop. And now left is left, left is right, right is left. And this is Adonai Echad. And the final circle, right goes up, left goes down. Until we are, I'm going to put this screen a little bit so you can see me a little better. One moment. There we go. You can kind of see me a little better now. Okay. So that's the three circles. Now there's another piece to it, which comes actually from a traditional, it's an ancient Kabbalistic meditation in the Shema. There are actually many texts throughout history that outline different types of Shema practices. You're probably familiar that in synagogue nowadays, it's a normative practice to cover your eyes when you do the Shema. Everyone does that. Take your right hand, cover your eyes. That actually comes originally from the practice of a Talmudic Kabbalist, meaning a Kabbalist that probably lived somewhere between 1500 and 2000 years ago. And he would do a practice similar to what we're doing, except not with hand motions, but with his eyes. So when he would say Shema Yisrael, he would be looking in the different directions, and I don't know how he would look backwards, but he moved his eyes in different ways that would kind of freak people out. And so he covered his eyes so that people didn't have to look at him and think he was doing some weird thing. It's very interesting. That's actually where that comes from. According to Aryeh Kaplan, Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan's book called Meditation in Kabbalah, which if you're interested in the scholarly aspect of the things that we're doing, like where these things come from, that's a great book to read. This is a practice that really, all the practices I teach are not exactly taken from tradition verbatim. They're practices that I kind of channeled in a sense through doing different traditional practices over the years and coming to wanting to synthesize a more effective and powerful kind of version from the things that I've learned. These are the things that came out of it. I wouldn't say that I synthesized it or invented it, because it's more like they came to me over time. So that's just a prelude to say that what we're going to learn now actually comes from one of those, from a medieval Kabbalist. And that is that when you say the ah vowel of echad, we're going to look up and then look down. And the kavanah is that we're making a unification between heaven and earth. Now, of course, heaven and earth are symbols, right? The literal heavens means outer space, and the literal earth means the planet that we're on. But really, those are symbols for a unification between consciousness and form, which is what happens to the degree that we are present. In a deeply meditative state, the normal subject-object dichotomy, having the sense of me who's aware and then the world out there, kind of drops away, and there's simply one experience happening, and our physical sensations and our emotional feelings and any thoughts that arise are all arising in the space that's consciousness, and there's not really an experience anymore of a separation between physical space and the space of consciousness. In reality, they're not separate, because everything we experience happens in the space of consciousness, even though we have the illusion of subject and object. So that's the unity of heaven and earth. It's really meaning a unity within ourselves, that the sense of conflict or resistance, tsuris, that arises throughout the day and through normal living of life drops away, and there's just a sense of complete presence. So that's what we're doing ritually when we look up and we look down. All these things are rituals, symbols that are pointing us towards deeper realization. So, you know, we can do these rituals without any realization. And, you know, if we have the consciousness and the intention that we want the realization, and we're doing the ritual in a way that's, not ego-focused, meaning like it's not us grabbing after an experience, but we're doing it with a sense of reverence and honor and gratitude for the gift of the practice that's coming to us, then the power is there. It works, and I hope that you feel that and you experience that. So the time that we're going to do this, looking up and then looking down, will be during the drawing of the final circle. So just to review, we have the hands crossed, left, right, and right is left. And then to draw the final circle, the right hand will come up, left hand will come down, and will eventually come all the way around. But when we cross this vertical axis, we're in a position now similar to how we started, except it's reversed. The right is up and the left is down instead of the other way. At that point, we'll briefly look up and look down. So coming back to left, right, and right, left, we're in the position before the word that we said Adonai, and we visualized Adonai kind of as a light coming to the right. Then we say Echad, and we visualize the light coming to the left, but then we prolong the ah vowel. So we say Echa, and then while we're ah-ing, we move the hands. Ah, and then look up and look down and continue. Ah, and that's completing the name. Okay. Now there's one more piece to this, which is that the final letter of Echad is the letter Dalet. And the numerical value of Dalet is 4. So Dalet has been thought to represent the 4 directions. So what we did is we looked up and down. That's the up, down. You know, that's 2 of the 6 directions. Once we bring our hands like this, we're going to briefly lean in the 4 directions for the final Dalet. And it says actually in the Talmud that the Dalet of Echad should be prolonged, which is very interesting because you can't prolong a regular D sound. It's just a D. You can't go, you know, you can't make it longer. So what does it mean that you have to prolong the Dalet? So the hint here is that Dalet was actually pronounced in a different way back then. In the Sefer Yetzirah, which is one of the oldest Kabbalistic texts there is, Dalet is classified as one of the double letters. And a double letter is a letter with 2 different sounds. So today we don't do 2 different sounds with Dalet, but back then they did. They had a hard sound, which is probably just D, and they had a soft sound, which is probably a TH as in the. So it's not a th sound because it's vocalized. So that's how you prolong a Dalet. There are actually some places in the world where this is pronounced that way. I can't remember if it's a Moroccan version of Hebrew or Mizrahi, but I know that Dalet is actually pronounced like that. So what we're going to do is once our hands are like this and we're coming to the Dalet sound, we're going to buzz the TH and just do a little movement in the 4 directions. So we can just go forward, back, right, left, like that. It's not so important the order of it, but just more that you have the kavanah of extending your awareness in all 6 directions, really, because when we were like this, we looked up and down, hands came out, and then we leaned briefly in the 4 directions with the buzzing TH sound. So if you thought the guy with his eyes looked weird, this looks really weird. I don't ever do this in synagogue, by the way. I just do it internally when I'm davening with other people in the synagogue because otherwise, you know, it just draws attention, you know, which is not that's, it becomes like a distraction. But I do this before I go to synagogue every time. So, okay, so let's do that final piece again. So we'll put left, right, and right, left. And then we are going to say Echad. And for the ah, we're going to move the hands. We're going to look up and down and come to rest. And the TH Dalet sound will go in the 4 directions. Here we go. Echad. Good. Okay, let's try it again. So as we're doing it, by the way, when we get to this position, up and down, the looking up and down is just kind of brief. It's like we're not even stopping here, really. We're just going, and then continuing it along, just like that. Very good. Okay, one more time, left and right.
Echa. And then we can bring in the hands. Very good. Now there's a little phrase that comes after the Shema, which is also six words. Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed. And you may be familiar with that. If you're not, you'll see it on the practice sheet that I'll send you today, because each class has its own practice sheet that adds the new piece. And what we'll do when we chant the Baruch Shem Kavod is we'll invite in, and we can do this with our hands, invite in the light back from the six directions. So the last light that we sent out, Echad, was to the left. So we'll invite in from the left, Baruch, and from the right, Shem. And then with your left hand from behind, Kavod. And then right hand to the front, Malchuto. And then right hand below, Leolam. And left hand from above, Va'ed. And we can do that a little bit more quickly than we did the whole Shema. But it's still not done super fast. So the reasoning for the different hands that we used for that are that it's the same way that we were pointing before. Those were the hands that we used, left, right, and so on. Okay. So let's do it one more time, just from the Echad part. So left, right, right, left. And chanting Echad. Remember, when we get to vertical, we look up and down. We get to hands out, TH, buzzing, Dalet in the four directions, and then Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam, like that. Okay, here we go. Left, right, right, left. Remember, when we begin to make this circle, right will go up and left will go down. Okay, here we go. Echa. Inviting in Baruch from the left, Baruch, Shem from the right, Shem, Kavod from behind with left hand, Kavod, Malchuto from the front with right hand, Malchuto, Leolam from below with the right, Leolam, and Va'ed from the top with your left, Va'ed. Amen. Okay. I'm going to unmute and see if anybody has any questions or anything before we do the whole piece together.
It's a lot to remember. Go ahead.
No, you go first.
It's a lot to remember, Rabbi. And I'm not as nervous about it as 2 weeks ago when I couldn't absorb right away the second lesson was like this one today. It interferes, like you said, the mind learning it is disrupting my meditative faith. And
yes,
that's awkward and unpleasant, and it's too much to learn and absorb. And I have faith this time after the experience of the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
That it will become natural, part of my practice.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. It's really building new neural pathways when we do that, which is actually really good for the brain, by the way, just on a kind of health level. There's been various research showing that as we get older, if you learn new things that have to do with moving your body in different ways, whether it's piano
or martial arts or whatever thing, but particularly things that have to do with spatial stuff and direction and right left things, because that gets the hemispheres of the brain communicating in new ways. So it does, it should feel like a little bit strained at first because your brain is trying to do something that it's not quite equipped yet, but amazingly it will make the new connections just through doing it, just through practice.
Can I say some more before we continue?
Yeah, did you say some more?
May I, please?
Yes, please, of course.
In order to incorporate the second lesson, instead of using my hands, I have, how can I put this, an experiential awareness for each of the six letters that is deep with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I allow that to be what I was connecting to with the energies of the, I was able to visualize and feel the energies with the combinations, which is integrating things I didn't even know how to integrate before, that I've told you with the way I practiced that I was looking for help with that, and it just naturally, that came together for me.
Wow, that's wonderful.
But I had to not use the hand motions, but rather my own maps of what works for me with the other pieces and bring them into it. So right. Yeah,
well, that's, you know, everybody, when you take these practices, if you have an intuition that you need to use them in a somewhat different way, I say go for it. And if you have, after you've been doing that, if you have a sense inside that you're ready to incorporate some of, you know, something that was taught that you didn't incorporate at first, then that's also great. You may or may not feel that, but just to be kind of open to it, because there's an intuitive process with these practices, which are really essential. And it sounds like that intuitive part is kicking in for you right away. And that's great. Amazing. It's interesting that a lot of folks here who are part of Tour of Awakening have that intuitive process kick in pretty readily, which is great, because a lot of people don't, by the way, as you probably know. You know, most people, when you teach something like this, there'll just be a real strong kind of effort to do it in an external way without any kind of real sense or intuition of what is going on and on an inner integrational level with energies, psychic energies, or unconscious material that wants to be freed, this sort of thing. So Baruch Hashem.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's see, why don't we... Actually, before we do the whole practice, I'm just looking at the time. I just want to talk a little bit about the words, the final two words of the Shema, which are Adonai Echad. We talked already about them in pairs. Shema Yisrael has this sort of polarity between Shema as pure awareness, as openness, as that which is beyond any identity because it's aware of identity. And then Yisrael as being identity. It's, of course, it's our cultural identity, but in the spiritual sense, we can empower the word Yisrael with our own intention of how our spiritual longing for how we want to be in the world moves us. And so that was a little question that I had asked just to, as a place for contemplation. When we look at ourselves, look at how we live, can we identify a more of a Yaakov aspect and more of a Yisrael aspect, and identify within ourselves that desire to move, to grow spiritually in the direction of transformation from a Yaakov to a Yisrael. And Yisrael, of course, is Sarita El, comes from the phrase Sarita Im Ha Elohim, striving for the divine. Or striving, literally striving with the divine.
And then we talked about Adonai Eloheinu, and Adonai itself has a polarity within it, right? Because the written name is the name that means being or existence. There's nothing separate from that, from the Yod Hey and Vav Hey. But then Adonai gives it a more personal deity sort of feel, because it literally means my Lord is Adonai. So somehow we are relating to something completely impersonal, completely beyond any particular form, by devoting our hearts to it in a way. And so that's encapsulated with Adonai. And then Eloheinu means our divinity. And I talked about it as the realization that our knowledge of the divine, of being in general, is not something that's separate from our awareness that perceives it. And that our awareness that inhabits our this body and this mind, these feelings, is the divine incarnate as ourselves for this little time that we're here. So the final two words, Adonai Echad, of course, brings in the Adonai again, and Echad means one. One way to look at this, and of course, all of these words are open to continuous, as much of contemplation you want to put into them, I'm sure that new insights will continue to dawn. But one way I just wanted to offer for looking at Adonai Echad is that when we consider the devotional feeling of the word Adonai, that it's my Lord, that it's kind of acknowledging something that we are Yisrael about, that we're striving for, or that we are putting ourselves in a relationship of surrender and also wanting to serve, these kinds of sentiments, these kinds of spiritual sentiments. And we apply that to Echad. Echad is oneness. So how can we put ourselves in a relation of kind of serving oneness, being embodiments of the reality of oneness? We all know what it's like to embody not oneness. That's sort of a normal thing that hopefully we grow out of like saying we're going to do something and doing something different, right? Like not having an inner unity to our character. So that's sort of the basic level of oneness that all humans hopefully should kind of get to as adults, even without any spirituality, is that you become someone that's dependable, that what they present is what's really there, that there's an integrity. That's what integrity is, right? There's a oneness to how we live. But on the deeper level, that we can open completely to everything that's in our experience, not resist things, not try to put some things aside, not try to judge ourselves or break ourselves up into different parts, but rather that we can know ourselves as the spaciousness of awareness that has no limits to what it can behold. I was going to say hold, but it's, you're not really holding, you're beholding. You're a space that can be present with whatever comes. And when we are that, it doesn't matter if different feelings or thoughts that are contradictory arise, because they're all part of the wholeness. And so therefore, when we are identified with that bigger space, really infinite space, then there's a freedom from being caught by any particular impulse. Because if we're caught by our impulses, then it's very likely that we're going to live lives that are kind of divided and contradictory, because one minute we feel this way, another minute we feel that way. But to the degree that we are that bigger space, then all those things can live without suppression, but we can express in our life in a way that we choose. So that's what I just want to offer as a little drashlet on the Adonai Echad. So what I'd like to do now is go ahead and do the whole practice as we have it. Okay. And then we can sit in silent meditation for a few moments.
And I'll review it really quick. You don't have to do it this time. You can just kind of listen and watch just to refresh the memory. Shema, left hand up. Yisrael, right hand down. Trace the first circle. Adonai forward. Eloheinu backward. Trace the second circle. Adonai to the right. Echad to the left. But then with the ah, we're going to move the last circle, looking up and down. Hands open, and then the final dalit, leaning in the four directions, and then bringing in Baruch, Shem, Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam, Va'ed. Okay, and I'll, of course, guide it. We'll do it much more slowly than that. Okay. Breathing in, and just to remind, Yud is the head, He is the chest, Vav is the belly. So breathing in three sips of air, filling the body with light, Yud, He, and Vav. Bringing left hand to point up, projecting Shema upwards. Shema. Breathing in, Yud. Vav, Hey, Yisrael, right hand pointing down. Yisrael. Tracing the front back vertical circle, left hand comes forward, right hand comes back. Follow the circle all the way around until right hand's forward, left hand is back. Breathing in, Hey, Yud, Vav, Yadonai to the front. Yadonai. And breathing in, Hey, Vav, Yud, Eloheinu to the back. Eloheinu. Tracing the second circle, right hand moves to the right, left hand moves to the left, hula hoop, following it around until left is right and right is left. Breathing in, Vav, Yud, Hey, Yadonai to the right, Yadonai. Breathing in, Vav, Hey, Yud, Echad to the left, and on the Ah, we'll start to move the last circle. Echa, moving the circle, right hand up, left down, ah, looking up and down, ah, and final dalet leaning in the four directions. With the left hand bringing in Baruch from the left. Baruch, bringing in Shem from the right with the right. Shem, bringing in Kavod with the left hand from the back. Kavod, Malchuto from the front with the right. Malchuto, Leolam from below with the right. Leolam, and Va'ed from above with the left. Va'ed. Right hand to your heart, offering awareness to the fullness of this as it is. Also seeing the light in the six directions without boundary, and offering awareness with Lecha. Lecha. Left hand to your belly, bringing awareness down into your body, down into your organs, and down through your legs and feet. Shining awareness up into your chest and heart. Shining awareness down your arms, down through your hands and fingers. Shining awareness into your face and skull and facial muscles. Feeling the flow of your breathing. And affirming this body awareness with Naase. Naase. Bringing right hand to lightly touch your forehead, aware of the vast space beyond the body, light flowing in six directions from the heart. Venishma, breathing in. Venishma. Kissing fingers. And chanting together. Coming to rest in very, very simple, open awareness, allowing the chant to vibrate in the mind so the thinking mind simply rests in the vibration of the chant, Atahu or Atyahi, and we'll just sit together for about 3 minutes. Amen. O say shalom b'mamav, hu yase shalom aleinu v'yalko Yisrael, v'yalko Yishvei Tevel, v'yamru, amen. So I'm going to unmute folks so that we can bid each other good evening. It's great to see you.
You too.
Next week, we will add the last piece, which is the connecting of the Ve'ahavta with the three portals that we have been doing, and that will complete this Shema Body of Light practice. So hope it goes well for you. And
on the tenth,
good. 2 weeks, yeah, very good. Okay, I hope to see you all before then, maybe on Sunday online. Have a wonderful rest of your week and good Shabbos.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely, thank you for coming on. Be well. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.